here we are in the middle of the city, in the middle of Ramadan. The Ramadan is now nearly halfway through. The life goes on. People go about their own business, work, schools, shopping. Nothing unusual about it because I think Ramadan is part and parcel of people's life. So while we are at Dame Street, we might as well go and check out Dr. Mustafa, a medical practitioner, and see how his day is panning out in the middle of Ramadan.
I've been fasting for the last few weeks since Ramadan started. And in Ireland here, it is like a long day. Only the first day might be, and the second day might be a bit exhausting. But then you find it very, it's like detoxing, a purification of all the soul. And everybody have the same feeling. And because you have to, it cleanses the soul, it makes you closer to the neighbors, to the friends, to even the colleagues at work. Once you start fasting, you'll be more concerned about the poor people that they don't have food to eat because you feel their feeling. The only thing I'll do as well, I'll try to provide myself with the space for 10 minutes maybe in the afternoon for my prayers break. Instead of taking it for lunch, take it for prayers. So you are just continuing your work, you know, and it takes 5-10 minutes. It's not a big deal. The thing that really reminds you and make you aware of Ramadan is coming is the preparation for it. The people will be going to do special shopping for the month of Ramadan because they need to buy certain foods. For example, in Ireland, there are so many halal shops. They will have the meat and they will have the traditional stuff as well that you need. So when you go to the shop, you feel people are all doing the same shopping. And it is really the atmosphere as well. Like, you know, I remember even when I was a child, I go with my father to, like, he talks about Ramadan as if it is a very holy person coming to you. So you have to prepare everything good for it. So imagine if you're expecting some guests to come to you and you have to keep that guest happy and it's for your own good. And you are doing a good deed by doing that.
So here we are in the suburbia of Dublin in Rathfarnham area, where a few women are coming together, visiting each other's houses and culminating their day of a fasting in a company of each other. They'll be cooking, they'll be praying together and opening the fast called Iftar.
Today I'm hosting an Iftar party and that is for my ladies' friends. And we have this very old tradition of breaking the fast together, and that's called iftar. And we have iftar parties. With ladies, it's nice because you are cooking together, chatting, and it makes it much easier and a bit of fun.
We started early in the morning, like it's almost 15 hours or so. So it was around 4:45 we started today, and it's going to finish around 7:45. So it's a long, long day. For me, like, it was a bit hard for me, but now I'm enjoying this month. Yeah, definitely. Gives us happiness, and after when this month is over, we have a lovely day of Eid. That's on the 1st of Shawwal. So we really look forward for that day as well.
We just breaking the fast with a date or something little, and then we immediately go to prayers.
When you break your fast, obviously immediately you should read Maghrib prayer, which is the sunset prayer. And that is what we do. A little while later, when it's nighttime prayer, then you do that as well. So it's very much part of when it's part of your daily life. These prayers you would do without even thinking.
In Islam, the beauty of prayer together is the unity, that everybody stands together and you go down together, you bow together, you sit together, and it's so uniform that's the essence of the prayer.
There's always been emphasis on the community. It's a social event, it's also a very spiritual time. For me personally, it's a time of inner peace and tranquility. And I think you become very introspective. You think about, you know, your past deeds and the direction you want your life to take.
Everyone has their own hectic lifestyle, but in Ramadan, the highlight is that you would sit as a family. And that evening meal would consist of you breaking the fast together, having that meal and having some sort of interaction with each other. Like it or not, you'd have to, because it's so, it brings the family together.
And in this month, like even our Allah, He says everybody is equal, nobody is poor or rich. So in this month, we try to please Allah, we try to become good, but especially in this month, we do good deeds.
When you fast and you're thinking of others, not just yourself, you feel the hunger pangs, and then you try to explain to your children when they're hungry, and you say, look, there's worse people off than you. You know, you're going to get a lovely meal, a feast at the end of the day, and these people will never have anything. So you try to connect with what's happening in the world.
We are at the Ahlul Bayt Islamic Centre, Milltown, Dublin, where the Shia Muslim community is gathering together to commemorate the death anniversary of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, the first Imam of the Muslim world.
During this holy month, there are also a lot of very important occasions for Muslims in general, but there is one very important occasion which Shia faith focuses on, and this occasion is the assassination of who we believe to be the successor of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, Imam Ali, alayhi salam. Imam Ali, as we believe in our faith, is the successor and the first and the main successor to the Prophet, peace be upon him. Imam Ali, we believe, is given the divine Islamic authority from the Prophet as a successor to lead the Muslim nation into a very hard and tough stage after his death.
Shia Islam knows that we accept Imam Ali alayhi salam as the true successor of the Prophet Muhammad. Someone who, although he was fasting, would go out in the middle of the night and feed poor people and wash the quadriplegic people and devote all his time to giving thanks to God that he was struck in that night and assassinated in that night is something we need to honour.
I'm officially the first Irish-born Imam. The Imam is the spiritual leader of the community. They come back to their Imam for any inquiry regarding any part of their faith or any occasion, any birth, any wedding, any funeral. And hopefully, being the first Irish-born Imam, this opens a new channel for the Muslim community to reach out to the younger generations and the new generation of Irish Muslims with a religion of peace.
Throughout my 6 years in secondary school, really, the only questions I was ever asked about Islam were, you know, silly things like, why can't you eat pork or why can't you drink? But there are a lot of open-minded people out there who do want to know about Islam. Islam means submission to the will of God through being grateful for what you've been given and through treating people the way you would want to be treated. And these are the two things we want to emphasize to the non-Muslims. This is what we are about. We're grateful for what we've been given and we want to treat people right. The second we don't treat people right, our faith is worthless.
After many years of meditation by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the Prophet was chosen by Allah, and during this holy month, during the last 10 days actually, the Quran was revealed through the angel Gabriel to the heart of our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And that is a belief shared by all Muslims. We believe it is the miracle of Islam, and through this book, and through the forgiveness and mercy and blessing that God sends down during this holy month, we ask God to free the world from all its problems, and to spread love and peace throughout the world.
قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد.